I didn't know how to deal with him. I was afraid. I was scared. He would beat me. He would say stuff. And believe me, in the area of sex, I was more times raped as married than what had happened when I was 18. Because there's the legal rape. Some women are raped at home by their husbands. You don't call rape because you're married, but the way you do it, believe me, women know when they are being used or when they are being loved. We know, believe me. So, in 2000, what you see here today when you look at me is a person that knows who she is in God. I am his bride. I love my God with all of my heart. And I am so grateful for everything that he did in my life. During that period of my marriage, I cried out, I don't know, countless times. I'll pray over Serge when he was sleeping. I'll cry out and I'll ask God, please give me more love for him. Please, Lord, do something. Lord, change me instead of changing him. Change me, make me stronger. I did all kinds of prayers. And I would avoid any conflict in front of my children. So in 2003, January 2003, we arrived from some vacations from my parents' house. We had moved to another place in Londrina. It's another town in Brazil. And when we arrived there, he came to me and he said, I don't want you anymore. I said, what are you talking about? We are pastors leading a church. What are you talking about? I don't want you anymore. I never loved you, and I don't want you anymore. And I said, you know that is not God. And he said, well, a prophet told me that I'm supposed to divorce you. And that's not a prophet at all. But that's okay. I called my dad, and my dad said, I will pay anything, try to find an apartment. So we moved to the apartment, me and my children. And then began another. Well, when I moved to the apartment, I didn't take anything with me. Absolutely anything. Not even my clothes. My mom bought me some. My sister gave me some friends. And I lost all the friends in the church because they don't want to take sides. It's very interesting. But anyway, that time was the most painful and the most glorious time in my life. Because again, he was there. My Jesus was there. My God was there. And I tried to find a job. I can tell you, I couldn't find a job. I tried hundreds of resumes, cards, all kinds of things in that town. I couldn't find a job for months and months and months. In August, I received a calling from one of the pastors asking me if I could be interpreting a group of American people that would come with Randy Clark. I had been with Randy Clark before in 2000 when he went to town and I was interpreting for him. And I said, oh, sure, I can do that. So that was, and I told God that time because I couldn't, understand why he was closing all the doors. I had to understand that he was doing something. He had a plan. See, sometimes God does things in your life that you don't understand what he's doing. His ways are not our ways. His mind is not as limited as our minds. And we try to put God in a box. And he wants us to get out of the box. You understand that? So there are moments in your life that you just say, God, I really don't understand that. But you know what? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And that was a period where I said, Lord, I don't understand anything that is going on in my life. Everything is falling apart. I'm destroyed. My divorce is on and everything is done. I don't have any hope, any light in front of me. And then that call comes and said, can you do that? And I said, sure, I can do that. And I said, Lord, I hope you have something here because I don't understand anything. So I went. Well, you know those divine encounters that God does? That was the big one. I am here in this country because I said, yes, God, I'm going to that conference and help people. If I didn't go there to that conference, just one conference, I would not be here. I would not be here. Because it was in that conference that I met three amazing guys, Herb, Ed. Ed Gibbons is what I call my spiritual daddy. I love him. And Rick. Rick is a pastor in Pennsylvania from Humble Hearts Ministry. Some of you guys met him. And each one of them came to me during the conference while I was helping them, and they would come to me saying, look, those. I just have a sense that Jesus wants to show himself as your husband. And I said, oh, no. He can be my best friend, but husband, no way. No way. I don't want anything to do with husband. No way. I don't want husband. Well, surprise, surprise. 10 days later, they left, and we made a very strong connection. And they left, and I was by myself again. I said, okay, God, now what? What am I going to do now? God said, what's very clear to me? And he said, I have a plan for your life. And I want you to close the doors of your room and spend time with me. I don't want you to go anywhere. No church. I mean, that was my calling. That was my thing. I'm not saying for you guys to say not come to church. Please don't get me in trouble. Please. 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 Okay? And if you do have to do something like that, clarify with him. Because you will understand. And be obedient, whatever decision it takes. Good. So, God told me very specifically, because in that time I didn't have a church. I was not going to church because I was so hurt. I said, I'm done. No way. I don't want anything. And everybody in town knew me because I was in a TV program. I was in radio program. And I said, no way. I don't want to go any place. So I was fine not going any place anyway. So I stayed in my room. I talked with my children. And I said, Lord told me to stay in my room. I don't know what he has for me. But I'm going to stay here until he reveals himself to me. And they understood. Because they knew I was crazy anyway. So for them, I said, that's fine, Mom. If we have food, that's fine for us. So I would go out once a week, and I would buy food, pay the bills, and come back home and stay home. And I read this Song of Songs, this book, over and over and over again during that time. And he came, he revealed himself as my lover, as my Jesus, as my everything. And he healed my heart. For 4 months, I just stayed there in his presence and soaking and soaking and soaking. I danced with him. I cried with him. I, I had this, he kissed me and he promised me, he spoke to me words that never I had heard from anybody, how special I was, how beautiful I was, how precious I was. And he kept telling me, you are my bride, you are my lover. And he kept telling me until I really believed. Until I stood in a position where I said, yes, I am. Took 4 months, every single day, and I had breakthroughs after breakthroughs after breakthroughs. I couldn't eat. I didn't want to eat. I just want to be there and just drink from his love and just drink from his presence and just be set free more and more and more again and more again. And his presence was just so, so amazing. I just want to be in his presence. I was like addicted to his presence. I was addicted to his voice, and I just didn't want to go out anymore. Well, meanwhile, in all that time, I had Ed's email and Rick's email, and I would email to them what God was showing me. And, you know, when you go into those moments, it's very important that you keep checking yourself with others, because you can go astray, go to some crazy, weird stuff. So it's important to have somebody that you can check with. So I was checking always with Ed and always with Rick, and they would pray for me. And not only that, but one day Rick called me and said, Dulce, would you be willing to come to the United States for 5 weeks? I have some place I want you to go and share your testimony. Would you be willing to go? I said, oh, sure. Sure. But I didn't have money. My dad was paying for all the expenses. I didn't have a job. So I really need help. So I thought about 6 pastors that I knew, and I sent them a letter and asked them if they would be willing to pay for me. And in the same day, they all said yes. And I said, yes, God. So because I am Portuguese, I didn't need a visa. That was so good. I didn't have to go to the American embassy. So I came to the United States in January 9, 2004. And the plan was to stay 1 week with Ed and Nancy. They offered to me to stay there. Ed said, you can stay with us for a week. And then I would stay 4 weeks with Rick. Well, everything changed. I spent 4 weeks with Ed and Nancy and 1 week with Rick. And during these 4 weeks, a pastor came and said, I'm being very fast. I'm trying to be very fast because there's a lot of details on that. The pastor came one day and said, I just have a sense that you are supposed to come and live in this country. And said, yeah. I was praying, Lord, give me an open door. Because my father, before I left, because I left my children with my parents to come here, and my dad said, when you come back, I want you to give me an answer what is going to happen in your life because we cannot support you anymore. And I said, I will have that. Don't worry. So when the pastor said, you are supposed to come and live in this country, I said, okay, God, this is the answer. I'm going back. The problem is I didn't have a place to live. I didn't have a job. I'm coming. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm coming. But the conviction in my heart was so great that I knew I had to come. So I went back to Brazil and talking to my dad and said, Dad, I'm moving to the United States. I went back in February. I was planning to come back in May. February, March, April, May. 3 months. In 3 months, I'm going back to the United States. And my dad, are you crazy? What are you doing? Your children don't speak English? You are going by yourself? Where are you going to live? I don't know that. What is your... I don't know that. Are you insane? I said, I think so. But the amazing thing was that God really gave me the date, the precise date that I was supposed to come, because Ed was going back with Randy Clark, and I was going to translate for them before I would come back. So I said, it's going to be May 12th, I'm leaving Brazil and go back to the United States. My dad said, I don't know what to do with you. And I said, you don't need nothing, I'm going. So I went back to my town, and when I arrived there, my ex-husband called me. Actually, I had to call him to tell him what was going to do, because I need the authorization letters from him to be able to bring my children. So I went to him and I said, look, God is opening this door for me, and I'm going to the United States. And I want the children to go with me. And he said, okay. And he said, can I take my children our children for 10 days, just spend 10 days with me? I said, sure. So he took the children. And the next day, and his state where he was living was like 12 hours away from where I was living. The next day he called me and he said, I just want to let you know that you're not going to see your children anymore. I'm not allowing them to leave the country. And that was the last time you saw your children. And I said, okay, God, this is getting crazy. So I called Ed and I called Rick. And Rick made the most difficult question in my life. He still owes me that. I'm still thinking about how I can do the back. He told me, Dulce, if you believe that God has a calling in your life in this country, would you be willing to leave your children and come to this country? My heart stopped. I mean, I couldn't breathe straight. And I said, okay, I need time. That is a question. I need time. You see, I was sure that I was never seen my, I was not going to see my children anymore. That was real for me. In that moment, it was really real for me. And the fear came on me in a way that I said, I cannot handle. And I spent 3 days without eating or drink or whatever. I just was on tears on the floor. I said, Lord, what are you doing with me? What are you doing with me? And in that moment, you reminded me about those 4 months that I had gone with him. And you tell me, do you trust me? Do you trust me enough? Do you trust me enough? Do you believe I have this calling for you? And do you trust me enough? And I was like, yes, Lord, but yes, Lord, but, and he said, don't put that but there. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? And I said, yes. I was exhausted. When I said yes, I mean, there was such a relief in my heart. And I said, Lord, whatever happens, I'll trust you. Next day, my ex-husband called me and said, the children are on the way. Yeah! Yes, 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 yes. Do you understand? Do you understand what God can do? Every single experience in your life is just to, it's not that it's always to test you, but I don't like to test you, because test comes grade and comes performance. But he wants to exercise your spiritual muscles. You know, it's the spiritual muscles that he wants. Let's go. Do you trust me? But God, he hurt me. Do you trust me? Are you willing to love unconditionally? Are you willing to give yourself to the person? Are you willing to say, to do whatever I'm calling you to do? Because I'm going to take care of everything. And I said, oh God, please help me here. And when he called me, I was like, oh, okay, boom, yeah, yeah. I called Ed, I called Gary. Gary, no, Gary was not in my life yet. He comes later. I called Rick, and it was such a joy. And every experience that you have is a testimony of His glory, of His power, of how He can do beyond understanding, beyond what you can think or imagine. He goes beyond. Just open your box and just run out, you know. Just dare to be you. You know, don't try to be copies. I always say, don't try to be me, because just one Dulce is enough. It's enough for the world. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be somebody else. Because God made you specifically with a specific purpose, with a specific gift, so that you can shine and He can use you. He is very creative. He doesn't need copies. He doesn't need copies. I love Darlene. I love her craziness. She's wild and crazy, and I love her for that. You know, and I see so many things in common with her. I love her, you know, and I love the diversity in people. The look at each one of you and see how God can use each one of you. And again and again, I want to say, you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake, girl. You are beautiful. And you are going to shine. You don't have any idea what God has for you. You don't have. Just don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Please, just shut down, you know. Yeah, okay, let's go. Do you have kisses? I don't see the basket of kisses for a while. Okay, have a kiss. Have some more kisses. Oh, my God, it's 1 o'clock already. Okay, let me go fast here. Well, I end up coming. There was a lot of complications. I ended up coming. And Ed and Nancy Gibbons, they opened their house for me to come and to live in their house. There was another amazing thing. But God opened their house, and I came under a religious visa. I am ordained pastor in Brazil. And I came with a religious visa, and I ended up being pastor in a church. Because I think they thought that I was South American, I don't know. But God worked in my heart on that. They put me to wash toilets and to clean the church and all that. And that was my function as a pastor. They didn't give me opportunity to speak because they saw that I would get in trouble. So anyway, but it was okay. See, God puts us in the positions. Where is that brother that told us? That was you that said, sometimes God puts us in a positions that are not really good, but it's a place where we learn and we grow, and He sees our hearts, our character, our love for people anyway. So that was for two or three years I stayed in that position, and God healed my heart, and I chose. See, love, it's... You have to choose to love. You have to choose. It's not because you cannot live your life on your feelings, although feelings are good sometimes, emotions are good sometimes. I am extremely emotional, mainly now with menopause. I'm crazy, but I you know, that's why God gave me Gary. He is my balance. He said, okay, honey, you know, just calm down. And he gives me kisses, and it's good. So, yeah, you can laugh. You are beautiful when you laugh. So we came, me and my three children. For 4 months, my children couldn't speak a word of English. And we prayed over them. We did homeschool, and... to make the story short, they became the best students in a private school. 2 years after I was here, Gary... Ah, now it's Gary finally. Gary actually was Ed's best friend in high school. My daddy's best friend in high school. So that's how we got connected. He was in a difficult time in his life. And he called Ed to talk with him. And Ed said, well, why don't you come here to the farm? Just come and let's talk. And then when he came, he saw me. And he fell in love completely. I mean, he was speechless. Just, no, it's not, that is not right. He was a little bit confused with this crazy girl lady, but it was okay. For some time, we were talking, and then he came to me one time because my girls want to go and study in a private school, want to go and study out. They didn't want homeschool anymore. And I told Ed I didn't have the money for private school. And then Gary came and said, look, I want to help. I want to pay for the school for them. And when he said, I want to pay for the school for them, I said, well, I think we need to talk. So I invited Gary out, but he paid. And the first question I made was, what are your intentions? Remember? I said, what are your intentions?